Hi, welcome to This Is Your Book Club podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Jamie.
So good to be back.
What's on your shelf today? Hooray.
So many good things.
I read a lot in the last 2 weeks.
Me too. I don't know what
happened. I mean, I always read a lot, but for me, even
a lot. Yeah, that's how I felt. It was like, I felt like I dragged there through February.
Yeah.
Just had a bit of a drag. And I was like, you know, I made my big, huge reading goal.
Yeah.
And it tells you. When you're behind.
Yes.
And I'm like 3 books behind. How am I going to catch up? Because I'm already trying to read so much.
Right.
And then the last couple of weeks, it's just been like, doo-doo-doo. I'm just zipping through books and
that's exactly.
Loving
it. 2 books ahead right now of my goal.
No, I am still a book behind. So I did make progress.
But you know, I went on a little weekend trip last weekend. And so I went with my sister. My sister took the girls. So my daughter and her daughter, and then I had my 2 boys and her son in my car. The boys just played video games the whole time.
Of course they did.
Earbuds in, and I listened to a book 4 hours down, 4 hours back. It was delightful. So I got a lot of extra time.
You can really pump through.
Some of them I can do faster than others. Yes. Do you find it?
Yes, I do.
Some I can go 1.5 or even 1.75.
Depending on how slow the author or the narrator
others,
is.
Others I can only do 1.25. Yeah. It just depends.
Absolutely true.
So.
I have perfect examples today.
Yes. Yes. They change. Right? So.
I know.
Yeah. Good book.
Super good. Books. So just in case you didn't catch on to that, today is What's on Your Shelf.
Well, if you didn't pick on to my,
what's on my
musical
shelf?
Of What's on the Shelf Today. That's we need like doing. A
like
jingle.
Play music. Yes. Yeah,
about. Each episode.
We're going to think about that one.
It shouldn't be me singing.
It could be.
I'm tone deaf.
It's still fun. I love it.
I have other skills. Singing, not one of them.
Okay. We're excited to talk about books. But before we jump into that, we need our fun fact.
Our fun fact. So book club is next week.
What?
Next week.
I'm sorry. That's crazy thinking.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know.
That we're already there.
We're already there.
This is a 5 Monday month.
It is. So it will be next week on the 4th Monday, but then we have a 5th Monday. So we have a special treat in store for you.
Stay tuned.
Yes. So fun fact about our last fun fact about Dark Matter by Blake
Crouch. I'm getting excited. Can I just say, I've been looking up quotes to put on Instagram.
Yes, we've had some good ones.
There are a lot of good ones. Like I have to narrow it down.
Because it's a quotable book.
Yes. And that makes me very interested in reading where these quotes are going.
Yes.
Like I have kind of at first was this one's going to be iffy. I'm on the fence about this pick. But I'm willing to give it a try.
And I think we were both on the fence about it. But the more I've researched Blake Crouch as an author, the book itself, and read more and more things, I'm actually really excited. So I have a book I'm working on right now. And Dark Matter is scheduled after this next one for me. So I will be starting it in the next couple days.
I am so excited. I'm just more curious. I don't think I've ever been so curious about a book. Well, maybe I can't say that, but I haven't been in a long time.
Right.
This curious.
This curious because it's so different. And going along with what I've done for fun facts in the last couple of weeks, this just piggybacks on that. What kind of book this is. So I was looking at different quotes that different magazines or reviews that people, that have been published about this book. And the New York Times book review says, "You'll gulp Dark Matter down in one afternoon or more likely one night. Alternate universe science fiction and a countdown thriller in which the hero must accomplish an impossible task to save his family. There's always another door to open and another page to turn." And then Entertainment Weekly says, "A mind-blowing sci-fi / suspense / love story mashup."
What?
So now we've got love story in here.
Oh my goodness.
We've had sci-fi, fantasy, thriller, and now love story.
Well, it does talk about, right, how he's taken from his family.
Yeah.
So you knew there was
he's got to get back to his love.
There that are being put through conflict. I'm so interested in how this is going to play out.
This is quite the mashup. So, yes. I can't wait.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Taking a dive into something different.
I can't wait. I'm really, really excited now. Yeah. I'm glad we chose something different. And I'm glad it's this.
Me too. It's
so.
It's got, yeah, it's looking like
a good choice. And the more videos I've watched of Blake Crouch, like he is entertaining to watch. Like he's funny. He gives a good interview. Like he's really an enjoyable person to watch.
Awesome.
Yeah.
He maybe has a couple new fans.
Definitely. And I haven't even read the book yet.
I know. So let's see if it lives up to the hype we're building.
You'll find out next week.
Right? I love it. Okay. Now on to what we're reading.
Now what's on our shelves?
So excited. Who's going first today?
I think you went first last time.
Okay, you're up.
So I'll take it this time. Okay, let's just get this one out of the way.
Okay.
I read Lolita.
Lolita.
By Vladimir.
That's a heavy
Nabokov.
One.
Oh my gosh.
Does anyone know about Lolita?
Yeah.
It's kind of written a long time ago.
It was written in, I want to say 70. Well, now I have to say when. I've got it right here. It was published in 95.
Is that a republication?
Everyone always says this is such a classic. Oh, first pub. Sorry.
I was going to say, that can't be right.
That was the It was written. It was first published in 1955.
Okay.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Sorry. I was
now,
like, what?
If you listened to the podcast that I talked about, Rust and Stardust, I did mention Lolita because it is referenced in that book.
Yes. And it's referenced all the time. It is considered a modern classic.
Wow.
And if you look on Goodreads, the reviews on this, it's crazy. 684,000 something ratings, 25,000 reviews. And those reviews are like tons of 5-star, 4-stars. It gets 3.89 overall. So there are people who don't like it, but the majority of people love it. And the majority of people are saying that it's poetic. It's beautifully written. The prose, the wordplay, the everything is just amazing writing. And I don't agree. Like,
that's good to know.
I was like, no, nope. I mean, it's not, it's well written.
Okay.
But I wouldn't say that it's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard, wordplay-wise. But the story.
Tell everyone what it's about,
yes,
so that they understand why you didn't love it.
So, the story is about a man who is what we would call now a pedophile. He is in love with girls between the age of 9 and 14. And he calls them nymphs.
Ew.
Or nymphettes.
Ew.
And he just thinks it is the most perfect age of the female body before puberty sets in and they get pimpled. He talks a ton about that. And so the wording, like when people are saying the prose and the wordplay, he is extremely descriptive. But
ew,
this is what he's describing.
Gross.
Is his love of these nymphettes.
That's
these
disgusting.
9 to 14-year-old girls.
So it's the whole story
and
is
so
from
arrogant.
His point of view.
It's from his point of view. It's he's writing it. And he's so arrogant. Like he's saying things like, psychologists will be studying me based off of what I'm putting in this book. They will be, you know, like just checking out my mind to see why I'm this way and blah, blah, blah. And all these, I mean, he just,
in a good way,
like he has something to teach the world.
Oh my God.
I don't know that he necessarily thinks it's a good way. He'll say a lot of you will think I'm perverse. That this is not normal. I'm just telling you what I experience. And so kind of the premise is the lengths he goes, he falls in love with Lolita. And I mean, that's his pet name for her. And he goes above and beyond to find a way to be with her. I just don't even know how much I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a pretty good intro. He goes
to an extreme level to get close to this girl.
Ugh.
And ultimately
my skin does. Is crawling.
And it's not, the word prose they're talking about is not descriptive, like super, super descriptive in what, in a sexual way of like, I mean, it talks about his thoughts mostly. It's very minimal on their actions, although those actions do happen. It doesn't go into detail, but just the idea and the description of his love for her is just, it's too much. And I honestly, like, I'm reading it and I'm thinking, this is a total glorification of a pedophile. And my worry with that is that other pedophiles will read this and have it be like their Bible. Like, this is like their hero who right. they look up to. Like, what is our, what's really well written? And should it have been really well written to enjoy the book?
Right.
Because in my opinion, no matter how well this was written, I feel like it glorified something that was
really gross.
Not acceptable. Yeah.
So what gross. Did you give it?
I gave it 2 stars.
2 stars.
I can't even recommend you read it. I didn't feel like it was worth. I didn't I, feel like I it will was not worth it.
Read it. I'm telling yeah. you right now. I don't think I could stomach it.
Yeah. It was just an old man
ew.
And his thoughts. Which are not thoughts you will ever want to know. Like, keep these thoughts to yourself. That's kind of how I felt
about it. Figure out a way to stop having these thoughts.
Right. Maybe you should go see someone and talk about these thoughts.
Maybe you should.
Process them.
Yeah.
You probably have some unresolved issues somewhere.
Probably.
It's out of the way.
And you did it. You read it just like you said you wanted to.
It's been on my list for a long time because, honestly, it gets brought up often in literature.
Yeah.
And so I did it. I read it. I'm over it.
And you don't ever have to read
it. I don't ever have to go back.
Very good.
Don't read it.
Thank you for telling me. I will not read it.
And if you do, I don't know that I even want to talk to you about it.
So is that gross?
I mean, it. Yeah, just disturbing. Just disturbing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not graphic.
I really now want you to go read Rust and Stardust so that we can compare it and talk about it.
Yes. And that is, I actually have it. Checked out already, but I have so many books checked out right now that it has to wait till after Dark Matter.
Yes.
And then I will get to Rust and Stardust because I did want to compare the two because from what I understand, Rust and Stardust is from the girl's point of view.
Yes.
That's a similar tale.
Similar.
And that I think is maybe a better way to write a tale like this because I understand this does happen.
Yes.
I'm not in a bubble that I don't believe there is nobody that would ever think like this.
Right.
But I don't know that I ever want to hear from the person
point of view
who's doing it. Yes. Okay. So let's lighten this up,
hopefully. Okay. I've got a much different book to talk about.
Good.
It's called The Secret Wife by Jill Paul.
Okay.
Or Gil Paul. Probably Gil.
Gil.
Okay. It is, I'll give you a quick synopsis. So there's a girl. Who or a woman who finds out that her husband has had an affair.
Okay.
And she's devastated. And she runs away. Instead of confronting him about it or talking to him about it, she runs away. They're in England. She comes to America.
Okay.
Because recently she was told that like a great grandfather had an estate that has been waiting for her to claim it. And so she claimed it, and it came with a cabin in America, New York or somewhere. So she comes to the cabin to run away from the awful things that are happening in her life. As she processes that, she's there. And she starts learning about this grandfather and why didn't she know? Because she has a family, like, why didn't she know he had stuff? Why didn't her mother has passed away. And so she, you know, but her mother never talked about him. And why didn't she take the money, you know, or, and this cabin, whatever. And so she's just trying to learn more about her family history. And this book is one of those that also tells the story of the past. So you're jumping between her story and what she's dealing with here in real time and this, her grandfather's story that took place, you know, all these years ago. The fun thing about her grandfather is that he was a soldier in Russia during like the Romanov family times. Yes. Okay.
Ooh, one of my obsessions.
You know what? I have heard a little bit about it, but I don't know a lot about that story. So this was fun and new for me to learn this new part of history.
Yeah.
And he's a name that I recognized from the Anastasia movie.
Oh, yeah.
The boy that helps her from the Disney movie.
Okay.
What's his name? I can't remember it. Anyway, he doesn't fall in love with Anastasia. He actually has a relationship with Tatiana, which is a different daughter.
Right.
And they, in the story, have this whole relationship. I don't want to give anything away, but it is really fun and fascinating and devastating, like hearing all these things that happen. And you watch Kate, or is it Kitty, I think is her name, the girl who's having these marital problems. And you watch her kind of discovering her family's history and process what's happening in her own personal life. And then you're learning about this Romanov family, which is fascinating, and all the things that happened in Russia all those years ago. And it's very cool. I loved it. I thought it was super fun. It was a great little jump back and forth. I mean, there was a few things that kind of were made light and I felt like they kind of breezed through that could have gone a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. But I really liked it. Like, I gave it 4 stars. Definitely would recommend reading it, especially if you're interested in that time in history.
It's super fun.
And it's a fun take on like what happened to the children.
Yeah.
Like, did they all die?
There's so much mystery behind where they really are. And I've read some books and I've listened to quite a few true crime podcasts about the Romanovs.
So interesting.
It is so fascinating, the different theories that are out there.
This is a fun take.
Okay. I'm super interested.
Definitely. It's called The Secret Wife.
Okay. I just put it on my want to read list, which is...
And it gets great reviews. Like, it's been read or rated over 40,000 times, mm-hmm. and it has a 4.18, like, rating, overall rating.
It's awesome.
Which is great. Yeah. And I would say that proved true for me.
Good.
Yeah.
You agree. Okay. Awesome. Okay. This one, I have been on the waiting list for a long time. I've been wanting to read this book for even longer. And I finally got it and listened to it. It is The Indifferent Stars Above, The Harrowing Saga of a Donner Party Bride by Daniel James Brown.
What?
The Donner Party! I'm upset. This is...
How can you read about people eating each other?
Oh my gosh. It is so fascinating.
It's sad and
it
gross.
Is horrible. It's horrible. However, this is like history. This is, I've read a lot. Again, I've listened to a lot of podcasts about the Donner Party, about what happened. And this book is the best out of everything I've read or listened to.
Really?
Yes. I gave it 4 stars. It gets 4.2 stars on Goodreads. This is the book of books if you're interested in the Donner Party.
Is it hard to stomach?
No, it's not. Like, it's heartbreaking there. Like what they go through and like these, I mean, they're looking for a better place to live. And they're told, like, it kind of goes back to the Four Winds. California is the land of honey and they call it?
Honey, milk and honey.
Milk and honey. And that's kind of the same thing at this time period. So they've got these pioneers who are trekking through and it's more than just this party is trekking through, but this specific party, this guy by the last name of Hastings is like, he wants to be published. He wants to be put on the map. And so he's like, hey, come take my Hastings Pass. Come take my trail. It's a shortcut. No, it adds like 150 miles onto the journey, which their journey already started late. That put them behind. And then the early winter in the Sierra Nevadas is ultimately how they got stuck up there. And they went to bed one night with no snow and woke up with like over 3 feet of snow. Like, I'm not going to say how much, but they woke up completely snowed in.
Oh my gosh.
The next day. And they only had they couldn't go forward. They couldn't go back. They were stuck. They only had what food they had. And they were there until the snow melted, and it just kept snowing and snowing to the point where the snow, they started building like temporary shelters, like got wood and started building, you know, because they knew they were going to be there a while. So they have these little hut type things. And it got to the point where the snow was taller than some of the huts. And so you've got families, you've got children, babies, wives, everyone's here. And they're already like their shoes are worn through because they've already traveled so far. Their clothes are ragged and torn. And I mean, they are destitute and they don't know what to do. And so they start making plans like all these different things and they vote on it and they're trying to make the best of a horrible situation and ultimately just to survive. And this was really good. It was a really good telling of it.
Okay.
My kids have the,
So is it like, I mean, obviously it's a telling of a real life thing, but is it written as a story or is it like a factual?
It's factual.
Okay.
Like these are real people, their lives, and it tells of their specific life. So when it says, of a Donner Party bride, there is a girl who was just married. Her and her husband are traveling out with this, you know, so this is their travels. But then it's also interesting because it'll stop, like it'll tell you about their journeys and where they are, but then it'll stop and tell you about that time period, what was normal for that time period. So it became close to Christmas or Christmas Day. And so they give you a little history about Christmas of the time, and Christmas wasn't really celebrated in America until this and this time. It wasn't typical that you would have Christmas presents or Santa Claus, except for in the German immigrant populations in the United States. Oh. And it slowly bled out into an adopted holiday for the US, but at the time it wasn't a typical celebration.
Hmm.
And so it talks a little bit about that. It talks about, because she gets married, and so it talks about her wedding night and what was typically used because they did not want to get pregnant because they knew they were going to be on the trail. And so what was typical for the time period and what was known about ways to not get pregnant.
Interesting.
And that, you know, women, it was unheard of to talk about it, but the women in private would talk and you could gather information about that kind of stuff. And
interesting.
Anyway, it was a good little snapshot of history, what was going on in the country at that time. And then it would tell you, go back to the stories of the specific people there and what they were doing to try to survive.
So cool.
It was actually really cool. They built snowshoes to try to send some people out to get people to come rescue them. So a small group built snowshoes and tried to make their way further into California to send back rescue parties. Anyway, just
so cool.
Fascinating. It was fascinating.
Wow.
I loved it.
Very cool. Kind of, and you gave it how many stars?
I gave it 4 stars.
4 stars. Yeah. Very cool.
I was excited to finally get it, and it did not disappoint.
Awesome. Gosh.
Yay.
That sounds like a better experience than Lolita.
Yeah. Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, sad history.
Sure.
But not, yeah.
Not disgusting.
Yeah. Nope. Well, I mean, they're...
Yeah, I guess that's kind of disgusting. Eat each other.
And they talk about that, like the PTSD from this whole event. Like, A, you're stuck in the mountains. You've been traveling for days. You have nothing. You're starving. You're now add to it eating the flesh of people that were in your own party, knowingly eating the flesh. And so they talked about what it did to them mentally, which is... very interesting discussion. So sad. Anyway, yeah. Very sad.
Aww.
Interesting story.
Okay.
I'm glad I wasn't a pioneer.
Right? I was born when I was supposed to be born. Over again,
glad that I didn't have to trek across the country.
Yeah.
Tough.
All right. Well, I'm going to steer us a different direction.
Perfect.
With The Last Garden in England by Julia Kelly.
That sounds so beautiful.
Right? It's new this year. It came out in January.
Okay.
So this is a newer book out. It's kind of like The Secret Wife in that there's current day.
Okay.
And then past times.
Okay.
Okay. So but it all centers around this garden. So Emma is the girl in present day. She has her own company that does landscaping and she does a great job and she loves it. And she gets brought into this home and she brings these people's gardens to life. And you kind of learn a little bit about her business and how that's going for her. But she's really excited about this one particular garden. It's a big job and it's going to be beautiful. As the owner walks her through, there's a section of the garden that, because every garden, I mean, there's lots of gardens in the one garden. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like the grounds are quite large.
Okay.
And there's lots of gardens within the grounds. And there's one garden called the Winter Garden that's locked and they can't find the key and no one's been in for lots and lots of years.
Okay.
And so they're going to redo the garden. How do we do it? So you're kind of learning about this Winter Garden that's also, you know, years ago and in like the early 1900s and what was happening with this estate back in that time. So it was during World War I. There was lots of things happening during World War I. The government was taking the land to make food. They needed all the land they could to grow crops for the soldiers and for whoever needed it. They were taking these big estate homes, like these stately, huge, as you can imagine, these big homes that belonged to a family. They would take over the homes and turn them into hospitals. Or they would do different things with these homes, make them orphanages or whatever, because lots of awful things were happening during World War I.
Yeah. Wartime.
Right. So you get to know, it jumps, at first I was a little bit confused because you're jumping between like four different women and just their different perspectives. And I actually want to say maybe five. Now that I'm counting the characters and just that are things that are happening. So trying to keep learning the characters takes a minute.
Okay.
I will say that. But once you get to know like who each person is, it is really a cool and unique way to tell a story because they all have different relationships with this garden and with each other. Mm-hmm. And it is very cool. So Emma is the only one who's like our time. The other four are all back then. All back. And one is like a kitchen maid, like she's a cook. One is the owner of the estate. One is a gardener who's just there to revamp the gardens. And one is just, they call them landladies. Have you heard of these?
No.
Landwomen. They would hire, there's like a TV show about them. It's like a Netflix show.
Oh, the landline?
Land girls.
Yeah. Is that what it's called? It's more with the telephone lines.
So what these girls did was the land girls did all different kinds of things. They were men's jobs.
Okay.
Right? And you would be sent, you could be sent all over, but you sign up to be a land girl and they could send you anywhere. So one is a land girl. She gets sent to do farming.
Okay.
And work on the farm. And so she's doing this manual labor on the farm. Yeah. So it's just, they're all just different and doing different things. They're just
filling in for all the men who left
into the war. And it's interesting to see like all the different, only one is the land girl. And like the one that was doing the garden, like she's just a spinster. She's considered a spinster, but she's 30. She's not old. But for the time, she really was. And to not be married. And she talks about how she actually really loves her freedom. Because when it was improper to be alone with a man when you're young. But now that she's a spinster, nobody cares.
No, yeah.
And so she can kind of come and go and do whatever she wants. Thing. Yeah. So she started this little business where she redesigns gardens and designs. Anyway, so even back then. It's just really fascinating. I loved it. It was super fun. And so you kind of jump. And there's lots of mingling stories happening here between the characters and the garden and things that are happening, what they find in the garden, how they find the garden, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's super fun. It was really interesting way to tie them all together and to be able to tell this generational story. I really liked it. I gave it 4 stars.
Fantastic.
Yeah. It was fun. Like, I think we've talked about, I've kind of taken a break from historical fiction for a while and have found myself kind of putting my toe back in, and I've been pleasantly surprised. Like, oh yeah, I do like these. I just think maybe I'm not ready for World War II. But the other historical things I've found that I'm enjoying.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. My next one is By Yourself, The Effing Lilies.
Okay.
And Other Rituals to Fix Your Life from someone who's been there. So, listeners, I recommended this one, that we use this one for a book club, because it had such good like ratings. Like, everyone was talking about it. It was on so many lists, and it ultimately is not one we picked, but I read it or listened to it, and I'm glad we did not pick it, because I gave it 3 stars.
It wasn't like a blow you over type
of book. No, it wasn't like, this is what you need to fix your life. And I kind of think, so the author, her name's Tara Schuster, and she is, she writes, or let's see, she's done a ton of stuff. Like, she wrote for The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. She helped launch Key and Peele. She's done all these different things in comedy. But she also, below her success, was extremely chronically anxious, self-medicating. Her life was not as put together as it looked in her career. She was actually quite falling apart. And she hit rock bottom when she drunk dialed her therapist pleading for help. And she didn't even remember it. So she gets totally drunk. This is at the beginning of the book. And she, the next morning, as she's coming to and doesn't remember anything of the night before, she's listening to these messages, and she's getting all these messages from her therapist like, hey, I understand, give me a call. And then each message gets more and more concerned. I haven't heard from you. I'm starting to get really concerned. I think maybe you should check yourself into a hospital. Like, each one got more and more like, this, I'm super concerned. What are you doing? Where are you? Like, maybe thinking that she was going to take her life or whatnot. So she decides to revamp her life and figure out what's going on, how to help herself. So self-help and her story.
Okay.
Which there were some really good parts. Very interesting. I think anytime you can turn your life around and figure out what works for you, awesome. I'm so happy for her.
Totally.
I feel like if I was in my late 20s, early 30s, this would have been more helpful.
Okay.
I feel like I'm maybe a little past that now. Not that I still don't need help. I'll take all the help I can get. But it wasn't this kind of help. It wasn't
usable help for you.
Not as much. There were a few little things here and there. But overall, I'm just past that phase in life where I'm trying to figure out what works for me.
Sure.
Not that I didn't need to figure that out, but I think I've gotten to a good place. And at this point in my life, it's figuring out other little things here and there, like in family and kids and that. And so it's a different type of help that I need now. So I didn't feel like this was as applicable to me. And I think she should rename it to Buy Yourself the Effing Notebook, because she talks so much about journaling.
Oh, really?
Everything was pull out that journal and let's journal. So there you go. Don't really get yourself the lilies.
Get yourself
a notebook and things you're grateful. Write a gratitude journal. Write your dreams. Write your goals. Those are all great things. Just get a journal.
There you go.
There you go. I'll save you from having to read it, and I'll tell you, get a journal. I'd start doing those things.
That's awesome.
I mean, it was good. I gave it 3 stars. I recommend it. 3 stars is a recommend. That's just my thought on it.
So funny.
But it was entertaining. I was entertained by her.
Well, that's half the part of reading a book.
Yeah. Right?
Very good.
There's other self-helps that I got more help from. This was entertaining.
Okay.
And interesting. Her life is an interesting story. So what awesome. She's done. There you go.
Very cool.
Okay.
Okay. My next one is Scrappy Little Nobody by Anna Kendrick.
That's been on my list for a long time, but I have not read it yet. And I love her.
I know. Who doesn't love her?
She's just so cute.
I know. Just so much spunk.
Yeah.
Right? And she reads, I've listened, which of course, I think you should listen to every memoir that the person reads themselves.
Absolutely.
I just think it's amazing. I love it.
Yes.
And that, I felt the same about this one. It, she is super funny. She is her like snarky little self, you know, in her book. And it did listen like she was just talking to you. She's nice. Not reading it, you know, she's telling you stories. And I always love when they can do that. And she talks about like when she's a child, how she got into acting. You know, I didn't realize she's a little, like she's short.
She's so short.
I don't know why I never realized that. Yeah, like they do a good job on camera to make her look normal.
Yeah. But huge personality.
Yes.
For such a little tiny body.
And she talks about that. Like it was almost because she was little, like she had to make up for it or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, super interesting. Yeah. And so she did acting from when she was very young and was on Broadway and did things. And I didn't know that about her. Huh. Super interesting. And she didn't want to go to school. She moved out and moved to LA when she was 17 years old. So she graduated early and went out and did that. Yeah. And she's from Maine. So it was like
That's a big change.
Huge. Huge. And super interesting.
She got a roommate.
Yeah. She found a roommate. And she talks about even that, like back when there wasn't places to find roommates.
Yeah.
So like it was like an email from three friends removed, you know, like of someone who needed a roommate. Yeah. Anyway, super interesting. And funny. Like the way she tells it is so funny.
The fact that we didn't all die back in the day of
I know. How did we survive?
Smartphones.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But she talks about that. And then throughout her career, like her different experiences doing movies and going to the shows and ultimately how she's just herself, which I think that I love having a peek into that world, but how she like gets all glammed up for these shows and then she like goes home and spends weeks in her house and doesn't leave. Like, you know, she just is a homebody and
just wants to be there.
Yeah. Doesn't like live. Anyway, she's so funny about it. I will say there's a lot of language, which I don't know why I didn't expect that, but I wasn't prepared for it. There's a lot of language and normally, like, I don't have a thing against language all the time, but for some reason in this book, it felt excessive. So I will just mention that. But it was super funny. If you love Anna Kendrick, which I really love Anna Kendrick, I highly recommend it. It's a quick read. It was like, it's not very long.
Yeah.
I did it in a couple of days. So super enjoyed it and had a little peek. And I had forgotten that she was in the Twilight movies.
I don't know that I knew that.
I know. No, she's like the best friend at school. Not the best friend. She's like her friend because she doesn't really have a best friend. But there's like a chatty little gossipy girl at school.
And it's her?
And that's Anna Kendrick. Yes. I had to go look it up. I love that. I love when I'm like, wait, what? Maybe what is she talking about? And I have to go and remember.
Because you watched the movie before you even knew who she was. Right. I love watching old movies and be like, oh my gosh, that's so-and-so.
Yes.
And they're so little or just starting out. Like,
totally.
That's fun.
Totally. So super fun, especially if you're into that kind of stuff. Like that.
Yeah.
Kind of book. And Anna Kendrick. Like, she's super fun. So I gave it 3 stars.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. So my last one is Something in the Water by Catherine Steedman.
Which sounds really familiar.
Something in the Water. It came out. When did it come out? Recently? I think it's a newer one. Let's see. Oh, no. 2018.
Okay. That's still fairly new.
I mean, it's fairly new, but not this year, last year.
Right, right.
It was a Reese's Book Club pick.
Okay.
Within the last year. And I think that's why I had it. I follow her on Instagram, so I think that's where it came from. But I really liked it. It was good. I gave it 4 stars.
All right.
It is a story of newly husband and wife. Erin is a documentary filmmaker, and she's just starting out, and she's doing a story on prisoners. And so she's picked these three prisoners who are going to be released soon, and she's following their story and their release. So that's kind of going on. At the same time, her fiance, at the beginning they're not married, Mark, is an investment banker and has everything all planned out. You know, he makes good money, they live together, they're planning on getting married, they're planning this big, huge wedding, and he loses his job. Something happens, and he loses his job, and he's freaking out and making all these changes to their wedding because he doesn't feel secure.
Okay.
Anyway, so they go through their wedding, and they're taking this dream honeymoon, which they had planned and paid for before, to Bora Bora. And they're staying. I just love the description here because I can just see it. You've all seen the ad where they have these huts out over the water, and they have these little pathway bridge things that connect them, and they can take the steps off their balcony and jump in the water. Inside their hut, it's a glass floor so they can see the water below them. It's just dreamy. Wow. So dreamy. And so they're there for 2 weeks on their honeymoon, just this sweet dream honeymoon. So they finally got married. They're enjoying this. She's trying not to be thinking about her documentary she's doing, but that's on her mind because these prisoners are getting closer to their release date. And anyway, they're out in the water and they find something in the water. And I won't tell you what, but they find something in the water that could potentially change their lives completely. And they're left with the decision, should they keep it or should they leave it? What should they do with what they find in the water? And what are the consequences one way or another with their decision on this? Mm. It takes you down a really interesting road.
Okay.
I loved it. Loved it. I did not see the end. I think it's a great tale of the decisions we make. And if we could change our lives, do we really want our lives changed? Is it worth it? How much is it worth it for how much you possibly have to do?
Okay.
How much you have to twist your lives around, or... I don't want to say anymore.
Interesting.
It was good. It was so good. Dreamy setting.
Curious.
And a really good. Yeah.
Cool.
I got through it so fast because I couldn't stop. I just couldn't stop listening. I love a good book like that. So I gave it 4 stars. It was great. Very entertaining. Yeah. One choice could change your whole life.
You sold me.
It's a fantastic one.
Cool.
Good pick.
Awesome. Okay. My last book.
Yes.
Is The Survivors by Jane Harper.
I just finished it this morning.
Did you really?
This morning.
Okay, good. You can talk about it with me. So.
So good.
I liked it.
Did you like it?
Yeah, okay. It's totally so good. I love Jane Harper.
Yes.
Can I just say that?
Such a good author. Her books are just enjoyable.
They are. She does such a great job, like, making the characters feel like it's your town.
Yeah.
Right? This is my town, and these people, I care about them, but I also am, like, skeptical of them. Like,
all of them?
Yeah, I don't know. And, like, she keeps you guessing the whole time, and I think I mentioned this before, but when I'm listening to, like, a Jane Harper book, it's like, it's just so nice and pleasant. And I feel like I'm listening to this friend tell me a story.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. It's very relatable. You can picture yourself in the wherever it is.
Yes.
Like this one, just a small little community of people who've known each other their whole lives.
Yeah. Like a little island town.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I did not see the ending coming. Did you?
No, I was going down a totally different road. And in my head, I was like, I can totally tell what's going to happen. And then I was wrong.
I totally was wrong.
Totally was wrong.
I thought that was so fun. It was a great little twist. That was the only thing, is like all of a sudden it was over.
I would have to say that too. Like I was like, wait, that's
come back,
it?
Don't tell me you're done. Yeah, keep talking to me, Jane.
I want the follow up. I do feel like there were a few loose ends that I was like,
because it did end wait. Super quickly.
It did. It did end really quick, and it was
that was my
a bit
only
of a letdown there. Yes.
Because I did love the way, like, I loved the twist
the
at build the
build up, the storyline, the characters, everything
yes,
was going great.
I did
great.
Not see where it was going. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, it was good. I gave it 4 stars.
I gave it 3.
Very good.
I liked it. I enjoyed it a lot. I recommend it.
Yeah. Mystery is your, like, passion. Yes.
And really, when I, like, I really enjoyed it, but I also, Something in the Water, I gave it 4 stars. And this just wasn't quite there with Something in the Water. And that's really, that was the most recent.
That you could compare it to.
Yeah. Thriller type story that I had read. And I was like, I mean, it was there. Like, is this a 4-star? But I had just read that. And so I was
like,
this
is
a 3-star, but it was good.
Totally.
I really enjoyed it.
Totally.
3 stars is not bad.
No.
It's great.
No. And I gave it 4 stars. I really liked it. Especially if you're, it's a mystery and it's like, you want to figure things out, but
right.
It's not so heavy that it's
no.
hard to get through or
exactly.
it's confusing. It's not confusing.
No.
It's easy to follow along what's
very
happening.
Very easy read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd recommend it for that too.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and so enjoyable. I really
totally.
Liked it for that. Just a good, enjoyable.
Good old Jane Harper.
Mystery. Yeah.
I know. I love her.
I liked it. Good one.
I know. What a fun little list of books to talk about. Very good.
I started out with some low, moved on up and around.
Absolutely.
And you had some good ones there. I do want to say that I read 2 that you talked about. I read This Tender Land, and I loved it. I
gave
it 5 stars.
Very good.
I loved it. And I read The Midnight Library.
And
gave that one 4 stars. I like that
one as well.
It wasn't
your favorite book of the year.
Not a favorite of the year. You gave it 5 stars, right?
I still think that was my favorite one.
And I've heard that from a lot of people. That
our favorite book I've read.
A favorite book of the year. I loved it. I mean, 4 stars, that's great.
It's very good.
But I wasn't quite there as my 5-star.
I built it up too high.
But it was good.
It was good.
I really enjoyed it.
Very good. Glad to hear it.
Yeah. Let us know if you read these.
Please, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. Message us, comment on our posts. We love interacting with you.
Absolutely.
Email
us at thisisyourbookclubpodcast@gmail.com.
Yep.
And thank you to Amphibious Zoo for our music.
Yeah. And we'll see you next time for our book club.
Yes.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Jamie.
And this is your book club.